The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's parshas are two Achrei Mais in Kedoshim. This evening we will dwell on a certain part of Parshas Kedoshim. The Torah tells us right at the beginning, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, speak to the congregation of Israel, ve'amata aleihem, and say to them, Kedoshim tiyu, you shall be Kedoshim, ki kodosh ani Hashem elekechem, because I, your God, kodosh. Now what does it mean that you should be kodosh? It's translated in various ways. Popular translation means holy, but this is a word that doesn't tell us too much. The commentaries, the Meforshim, tell us that the word kodesh means nivdel, to separate oneself. So here is a command that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, that you should be kodesh, you should be nivdel, you should be separated, because I am kodesh, because I am separated. Now this is something which needs explanation, because we are obligated to follow and to emulate the ways of the Almighty. Like the Torah tells us in other places, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, that you shall walk in His ways, and therefore Mahu Chanun, just like He is good, you also should be good. Umahu Rachum, and just like He is compassionate, so you should also be compassionate. Here, we are saying that just like as He is Kodesh, you shall also be Kodesh. Just as He is separated from everything, you also. We can understand how a person can be compassionate because the Almighty is, or how a person can be good. But here, the reason why the Almighty is Kodesh, because He's a Bilti Gashmi, because He's not physical. He's completely abstract, completely separated from the physical world, completely above the physical world. But a man who is a physical entity, he was created ofer mino adoma, from the dust of the earth. So he is physical. And he cannot divorce himself from the physical world. So then how can he fulfill this concept that kedoshim tiyu, that you shall be separated, nivdel, ki kodesh ani Hashem elokeichem, because I am so, I am kodesh. Rashi explains, Kedoshim tiyu, hevi prushim mina arayis u mina aveiro. You shall be prushim. So Rashi is interpreting in accordance. Rashi is interpreting in accordance to the word kodesh. Prushim means to separate, to abstain. You shall abstain from arayis and from aveiro. Arayis, this means adulterous or incestual sexual relations. Illicit relations that one is not allowed. And then Rashi says also it refers to all Averis. But specifically it refers to the Arayis, Rashi says. Why? Shekol mokum shato meitzi gede erva ato meitzi kedusha. Because many places in the Torah, when the Torah tells us that one should abstain from an illegal and illicit sexual relation, there the Torah writes kodesh, that this is a kedusha. And Rashi cites several examples. For example, ish zayin v'chalol aleikochu ani Hashem ekadishchem, lechalol zarei ani Hashem ekatchem. He cites several examples. So Rashi is learning kedoshim tiyu, that this means kedoshim tiyu, this means you shall be separated, prushim, abstain, but in particular from the arayis. Why does it mean particular then from the arayis? If we have a command that we should be kedoshim, we should abstain, or we should separate ourselves, so then it should go on all Averis, and any transgression of the Torah. Why particularly from the Arais? So the Maral Miprag in the Sefer Gurai explains, because the Kiddusha, as we mentioned, means that a person should separate himself from that which is physical. And the greatest physical force in a person is this attraction to adultery or incest. A person who commits arayis, adultery or incest, this is a hero. This is an illustration. This is an illustration that he has drawn after the basic physical forces in man. He'll give an example, brings an example. We'll give an example. In the Parsha of Seta, by the unfaithful wife, do we have enough chairs? In the Parsha of Seta, by the unfaithful wife, if a woman commits adultery, then she's obligated to bring a korban, a sacrifice. A sacrifice which the Torah obligated her is that of sa'orin. She brings a mincha, a meal offering made from sa'orin, which is made from barley. Now usually, the menoches, the offerings, came from wheat, because wheat is the best grain, and this is the grain which sustains man. So the question is asked, so why does she bring from sa'orin, from barley? Actually, barley is a basic food for animals, while wheat is the basic food for man. So the Gemara tells us, he also saw maise behema, lekach mevio Michael shul behema. That since the act of adultery is considered an act which is similar to that of an act of an animal, therefore here where she has to bring a sacrifice, she must bring a sacrifice which is similar to that, which is that which sustains an animal. And what is the meaning of this? Because man was created ofer min adamah. He was created from the dust of the earth. So he's physical. Animal also was created from the earth. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the animal kingdom. It was also created physical. So what's the distinction then between man and animal? The distinction is because man was given also the Nishmas Hashem. He was given a spirit. He was given a soul. So when he uplifts himself, then he becomes man. In Cholilo, to relate or to identify man in any way with animal. But if he lacks in this uplifting, if it's not a case where his spirit, where his soul is the master over his entity, but rather the basic drives of the person, the basic physical drives of the person, this is his master, then no longer is he the man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. The Torah tells us, Ofer min Adama vayipach ba'apov, nefesh chayo, nishmas Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, in addition to the dust of the earth, he gave him a soul. So then he becomes purely physical. And if he's purely physical, where he's drawn purely after his physical drives, then what is the distinction between him and animal? That's the animal. It's even worse. Because this is how animal was created, well, man not. So therefore he must bring a korban. And the korban is sa'or, in the korban is barley, which is a meichel behemah. So when we're speaking to a person that a person should be kodesh, and kodesh means prushi, that he should abstain, he should be separated, so it refers generally to every Avera, but in particular, Rashi says it refers to the Arayis, it refers to the Averas of an illicit physical relationship. Because it is here, is the basic distinction between physical man and a spiritual man. Therefore, the Torah is telling us, Kedeshim Tiyu, Ki ani, ki kodosh ani, Hashem Elokeichem. You shall emulate me, and you shall separate yourselves, because I am separated. This is how Rashi learns. This is a very good interpretation. The Ramban has a different interpretation. The Ramban asks what Rashi says. He asks a kasha. He asks a question. He says, "Avol b'teres kahanim rishi stam prushim to you." In the Teres Kahanim, which is a basic commentary on Sefer Vayikra, which is written by the Tanoim, by the rabbis of the Mishnah, there it states, "Kedoshim to you, that you shall be kodesh, prushim to you, you shall separate yourselves, like the Almighty is separated. You shall separate yourselves." But it doesn't say mina arayis. It doesn't say from illicit physical relations. It just says generally, you shall separate yourselves. And then, also, it states in another place, Viskadashtem viyisem kedoshim ki kodoshani. There's another posuk, not in our sefer, which states that you shall make yourself kodesh because I am kodesh. So the Torah's Kahanim says, Kishem shani kodesh kachatem tiyah kadeshim, Kishem shani porish kachatem tiyah prushim. Just like I am kodesh, I am holy, you shall be holy. Just like I am porush, I am separated, you also shall be separated. And it does not say from anything in particular. And if, according to Rashi, that the basic command would be to separate yourselves from physical illegal physical relations, so then why doesn't it say mino arayis? So therefore, even though the explanation of Rashi is very good, but the Ramban chooses to explain this differently. The Torah is commanding us, kedoshim tiyu, that you should be separate yourself in general, not from anything in particular, but in general, because I am separated. What does this mean? So the man explains, and from this comes out a very, very great principle in Jewish life, and a very great principle of the Torah. He says there are certain things that we are obligated to do. And these are called mitzvahs. The whole section of the Torah, what we must do. There's another section of mitzvahs, which are prohibitions, that we are not allowed to do. So there's a certain section of life which we must do. There's a certain section of life which we are prohibited to partake from. So this is the obligations and the prohibitions. The mitzvahs essays and the mitzvahs leisasses. Then, the remaining area is what is known as reshus. It's optional. It's left to the discretion of man. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you want to partake from it, good. You don't want to, also good. For example, When it comes to foods, there are certain foods that we are required to eat. For example, matzah and Pesach we must eat. Shabbos we must eat. First night of Sukkot we must eat. There are certain foods which we are not allowed to eat. For example, if an animal is not kosher, we're not allowed to eat. If it's not shechted properly, we're not allowed to eat. Then there's the rest of foods which are kosher, but it's not a mitzvah to eat. So this was left up, this is an optional area. This is left up to man's discretion. You want to eat, good. You don't want to eat, also good. Another example, there are, when it comes to marriage or to physical relations, there are certain women that man is not allowed to marry. Another man's wife or a close relation. There are others that it's a mitzvah. He has to. It's a mitzvah that a man should get married. But then there's an area, an optional area. For example, according to the Torah doesn't tell him how many wives he can take. Or the quantity of his relationship with his own wife, the Torah also doesn't dictate to him. Nor the quality. This is the optional area. Another example that a man gives. When it comes to drinking, there might be some liquids that we're not allowed to drink. If they're extracted from things that are not kosher. Or in Eretz Yisrael, where from the wine or from other such liquids, Trumas and Maestres, certain portions had to be given to the Kahanim. If they were not given, we won't be allowed to drink from it. There are others that it's a mitzvah. For example, we have to make Kiddush on wine. When it comes Pesach, we have to drink Dalek Kosos. Beyond that, this is an optional area. And this is left to man's discretion. Another example, dress. There are certain times when clothing is an obligation. For example, the Kohen. The Kohen would go into the Beis HaMikdash. He had to have certain clothing on. The Kohen Gadol, the high priest, when he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there were 8 begodim, 8 garments that he must wear. And if he didn't and he went in without, there was a punishment from the Torah. There are certain garments we're not allowed to wear. For example, klayim, shatnez. If it's made from wool and linen, we're not allowed to. But if it's a permissible type of clothing, so then, what type of clothing the Torah left up to you? What style clothing you want to wear? This the Torah left to your own discretion. What color clothing you want to wear or what color tie you want to choose? This the Torah left up to your discretion. Another example he brings. Diburim, speech. There is a certain dibur, speech, which one is obligated. For example, v'dibar tobom, it's a mitzvah, it's an obligation to speak in the words of Torah. Or when you meet someone, the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to give him shalom. Have him a kabbalist, call out him a savior, put him in office. That every man you must greet. This is not optional, this is a mitzvah. Tfilah, to daven, this is a mitzvah. There are certain words that we are not allowed to utter. For example, a false oath or loshon hara. To speak scandalous of someone or to hurt someone with our words. Onos devorim, this we're not allowed. Then there's this middle optional area. As long if it's words which you're not obligated, but as long as you're not damaging others with your words, then the Torah left that up to your discretion. And if one examines, he finds that a great part of the world, or a great part of his life, is all in this optional area. Now the Rabban says, possible, it would be possible. Without this mitzvah that we're learning now, it would be possible for a Jew to be a frumah Jew, to be an observant Jew, to keep all of the mitzvahs, all of the commandments and all of the leisasses, but still be a novel, an odom nimas, still be a very abominable person, a very low character, a very coarse and despicable person. He could keep all mitzvahs, but still be a very despicable person. A person that in the eyes of the Torah is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. For example, let's say he eats only kosher foods, but he's a glutton. He eats and he eats and he eats. Quantity and quality. And the way he eats. Let's say he drinks only kosher wine, but he's a shikar. He drinks and drinks. You can't. What is he doing wrong? It's kosher. But he becomes a shikar. Let's say that he dresses only in kosher clothing. There's no klima, anything like that. But he dresses as a very, very coarse individual. As a person who would not be acceptable to society. Let's say that he marries only a kosher wife, takes only someone that he's allowed to, but he decides they'll have a harem, which according to the letter of the law, he's not doing anything wrong. Let's say that he speaks only words which he's allowed to. He doesn't say Lashon Hara and doesn't swear falsely. But the way he speaks, like the Rambam brings, that you have certain people that go around and they're yelling v'tzeyakim kekelev shebashuk, that they yell like an animal in the marketplace. Or he's always talking. Always talking. Always chattering. It's possible that we can find a person that keeps the Taryag mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs, and the Ramban says he's still a novel, a manuvel. A manuvel means someone who's a despicable person. He's an odom nimas. And this is not what the Torah wanted. Because the Torah was not interested merely in the fulfillment of 613 points. But the Torah wanted that through the 613 mitzvahs, a person will elevate himself to become a perfect person. And therefore, in order to pre-warn this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, after he gave all the mitzvahs, after he gave all of the 613 mitzvahs, he said, still not enough. But kedoshim to you, that just like I am separated, you also must be separated. Kedoshim to you, ki ani Hashem, ki kodesh ani Hashem lekecha. And there's a depth in this. Why is the Almighty referred to as kodesh? Because he is bilti gashmi. He has no link to the physical world. He's spiritual. How can a person be kodesh? A person cannot leave the physical world. As long as he's here, he lives in the physical world. After 120 years, that's when he leaves the physical world. So how can he be kodesh? The answer is, if he guards very carefully the quantity of his life, and if he guards very carefully the quality of his life, then he is not living a physical life to the point where he is drawn into the physical world, but rather he takes the physical world and uplifts it And he also becomes separated from the physical world. Not separated from the physical world to the point that he's not part of it, but not where he is the ofer min ha'adoma, he is the dust of the earth, but where he's the neshama, the soul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll give an example. The Gemara says, a person's table is Zeh HaShulchan Nifnei Hashem, is a table before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person's table, Eila HaMizbeach, this is the same as an altar. What does this mean? A person eats, how does it become an altar? A person eats and an animal eats. It can be the same, it can be different. Two worlds it can be. If a person eats, that act can be the same as an animal eating. But on the other hand, a person can eat and it can become a mizbeach, an altar. The Gemara says, how does it become a mizbeach? One way it becomes a mizbeach, the Gemara says. Rashi says, if he has a table that's open for the aniyim, for the poor. If his table is open only for himself. So what does this illustrate? That he's interested in indulging in the physical world. And then it's purely physical. But if he's interested in sharing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him with others also, then he's not drawn to the physical world. He's drawn to the spiritual world. But he cannot become spiritual alone. So he takes the physical world with him and elevates it to become spiritual. Another way the Gemara says, and this the Ramban brings, we have a mitzvah of Netila Shadayim, washing one's hands. And this, the Gemara tells us, was enacted by Shlema HaMelech Ubez Dinei, King Solomon and his court. So the Gemara says, Viz Kadashtem, there's a pasuk which states that you shall sanctify yourself, Elu Mayim Rishayim. This refers to the washing before one eats. Behayu Kodesh, and you shall be sanctified, Elamayim Achreinim, this refers to the washing after one eats. So the Ramban explains, this mitzvah was enacted by the Rabbonim, by King Solomon and his court, but really the actual source is in the Torah. And this is its source. Because if a person will go to the table without any type of cleanliness, he says, for example, Nikius. The Torah doesn't tell us. There is no explicit mitzvah how a person should keep himself clean. Yet if a person will not, and especially if he'll go to the table like this, so then he will lack in this mitzvah of kedoshim. And the Torah tells us it's not sufficient just to fulfill the 613 mitzvahs, but they must uplift us to be a sanctified being. So therefore, from this posuk, the Chachomim learned that we should enact Netila Shadayim. Therefore, Viz Kadashtem, you shall sanctify yourselves. How does this illustrate itself, practically speaking? Mayim Rishayim, that one washes before he goes and eats. V'hayu Kodesh, how does this manifest itself? Mayim Achreinim, that when he finishes, he washes himself. And there's great depth in this. The Maral, in his Nesivo Aveda, writes, in Perek Tezayin, the Maral writes, O od mazeh asher borer Hashem izborach, man which the Almighty created. Verotzel is a kaiser. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to purify him. Ulatare min pchisusei hagashmi. He wanted to purify him from all of the imperfections of the physical world. Man was created from the physical world. But the Almighty didn't want him to remain as a purely physical being, because then that's what an animal is. So he wanted to purify him from all of the shortcomings of the physical world. And this is what the Gemara tells us, that mitzvahs were given, not merely that they should be performed, but they should purify the person and perfect the person. Therefore, when a person is drawn into the physical world, there in particular, he has to sanctify himself. All the time a person has to sanctify himself. But when he's drawn to the physical world, there he must sanctify himself even more. Because when he's drawn into the physical world, then there is the great opportunity, there is the opportunity that he will become the physical being. So there he needs more sanctification, even more so. So therefore, when it comes to eating and drinking, he's being drawn into the physical world. His desires are initiated through his physical entity. If he would just let things take its course, then he would become the physical being. And this is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that he shouldn't eat or drink. So therefore, Yiskadashtem, sanctify yourself. And they were masake in the Chachomim, ordained Metila Shaddai. You go to the table. If you just go to the table because you're merely drawn to the table by your appetite, or by your desire to eat, or your lust for food, well, an animal also. When an animal gets hungry, he comes to eat. So what's the difference? So at that point, wash your hands first. Firstly, it shows that you are not merely being forced by your physical desires, but you're becoming a master over yourself. And you're preparing yourself. And you're cleansing yourself. So now, instead of this physical act remaining a physical act, it becomes a physical act that has a spirit in it. And it becomes like man, that physical man that has a soul, and it's uplifted. And this is also included what the Gemara means, that the shulchan of a person can be his altar. Because what was the altar? You took an animal and you sacrificed it, and it went up to Hashem. Now the animal is purely physical. And this animal, there's nothing more physical than a bull. Yet it can be sanctified and uplifted to the Almighty through proper preparation and proper procedure. So can the act of eating. The act of eating, which is the most physical act, can be uplifted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through proper procedure, through proper mitzvahs. Another example the Maral brings, the Gemara says, and this is something which is very profound. The Gemara says in Masechta Saita, Dorish Rav Avira, Masechta Saita Daf Dalet Omid Beis, Dorish Rav Avira, Rav Avira learned, Zimna Mama Lo Mishmei de Ravami, Zimna Mama Lo Mishmei de Ravasi. Sometimes this was said in the name of Ramami, and sometimes it was said in the name of Ravasi. Kola Eichel Lecha Belei Netila Shadayim. Whoever eats bread without washing his hands properly before, Ki Ilu Bo Alisha Zayna, is the same, is as if he has a physical relationship with a prostitute. And he brings a posuk to support this. A sentence in the Torah to support this. So the Maral asks, what does this mean? If someone eats bread without properly preparing himself beforehand, why can this be equated that someone who has an illicit relationship? She says it's a very simple meaning. Because why, when we marry a woman, why is that called kiddushin? And at the time we marry her, we say, Harayat mikudeshishli, you shall be kodesh, you shall be sanctified. Because this relationship basically is a physical relationship. And it's a very, very physical relationship. So what distinguishes this then from cholilo, from the animal relationship? The answer is, if this relationship is manifested by physical man alone, then you're right. Then this is equivalent to the relations that an animal has with each other. It's manifesting by physical energies alone. And that's what we cited before, by the Saita, by the adulteress, with her korban, with her sacrifice. But if this physical relationship is manifested by the spirit of man, there are not merely physical energies, but there are spiritual energies. And the spiritual energies uplift the physical energies. Then by no means, then it's millions and millions of light years away from the act of an animal. And it's kodosh. And therefore, before we marry a woman, we're a mekadeshur. We say hareyat mikudeshesli, to sanctify this relationship. Now the same must comply to eating. If the act of eating is merely the manifestation of physical energies, of physical desires and physical appetite, and that's all, so then this is physical man. No, an animal also has an appetite, and an animal also has a desire, and he also eats. What's the distinction? But if our spiritual energies also come into play, and when we eat, we're eating also to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every aspect of this world, so then this physical act is not physical, it's spiritual. It is a physical act, but it's spiritual. And therefore, to precipitate and to enroll our spiritual energies, the Chazal said, before you come to the table, prepare yourself. Wash your hands first. I think we all remember from our Zaydis how many times they said, Mikub nishtu atish azoy, you don't come to a table like this. You don't just come to a table and eat. You come and you wash and you sit down. This was inbred. An animal, you throw the food in front of him and eats. And this is how it should be with an animal, but not with man. And therefore, Dorish Rav Avira darshan, Kol ha'eichel lechem b'lein netile shadayim. Someone who eats without netile shadayim, he just comes to the table and eats. Is ke'ilu bo alisha zeinim. This can be equated to a relationship with a prostitute. Because it becomes a purely physical act without any spiritual energy in it. And it lacks the kedusha. So now we see more what the Torah is telling us. Kedoshim to you, that you shall be sanctified, ki kodesh ani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is spiritual. He's abstract, he's nivdal, he's separated from this world. He wants you also to separate yourself from this world. But how can you? He's abstract, you're not. He's spiritual, you're physical. How could you separate yourself from this world? In the next world you separate yourself, but not. So the Torah is teaching that it's possible for a physical man also to separate himself from this world. not where he divorces himself from the physical world, but where he can take the physical world and make it spirit. Take the physical world and make it Kodesh. And therefore, after all of the 613 mitzvahs were given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that's not sufficient. Because if the 613 mitzvahs will not be checked in its quality, in their quality, or in their quantity, so man still can be very, very physical. He can eat only kosher foods, but he can become a glutton. He can drink only kosher wine, but he can become a drunkard. And so on and so on. So therefore the Torah commanded, Kedoshim to you, ki kodesh ani. This is how the Ramban learns, and this is a very, very important principle in the Torah. Now there are several points that still need explanation. And one is, does this mean, then, that a person should abstain from this world? Does this mean a person should abstain? It would seem. Now the Rambam tells us, in Hilchos Deos, the beginning of in Perek Gimel, Shema Yomar Odom. Maybe a person will say, Ha'il va'akina va'taiva va'akovet. Since kino and taiva va'akovet, kino is envy, taiva is physical desire, kovet is the lust for honor. Since these things are kiyetzabem, since these things are derech ro'ahim, are so evil, are so bad. And umetinas Odom in ha'ilam, and our sages say that these things can drive a person from the world. If a person is interested in honor, and if he's interested in, and if he's involved in envy, and he's involved in physical desire, it'll drive him from the world. So perhaps a person would say, Efresh behem b'yeser. So I'll wash my hands from them. I won't have anything to do with it. V'esrachek letzaru achrayim. And I'll keep away completely from it. Prushim to you. Like the Ramban says, Prushim to you, you should abstain. I won't eat any meat. I'll become an idealistic vegetarian. I won't eat any meat. The Torah permitted it, but I know what it can bring a person to, so I won't eat. I won't drink any wine. The Torah permitted wine. But I know that if I see what wine can do, so I won't drink any. The Torah permitted to marry. In fact, it's obligated. I won't marry. I won't marry because I see the evils that can come from it. And I won't indulge at all in this world. Because there are great, very, very great hazards. Once a person starts to get involved, we know. A person starts to get involved in a nice home. So then he starts thinking of nice furniture. And then he starts to think of a nice pool, and then nice cars, and then a better home. And it's eilid over seif, there's no end to it. And then he has to work more, and then he has to make more money, and if he makes more money, he buys more, and it's a vicious cycle, and it ends and drives him out of the world. So the person says, I'll live in a shack, I don't want anything to do with it. I won't live in a nice home, but I won't wear nice clothing. Because once I start wearing nice clothing, so one thing leads to another. If it's a nice dress, so then you have to have a nice bag, and if it's a nice bag, it's nice shoes, and so on and so on. See? Elo hasak v'atzemer hakosher. I'll wear coarse woolen clothing and I'll wear sackcloth. Uki Yitzhaben, for example, these examples. So, such a cheshbon, such a calculation. It's a good calculation. So the Rambam says, this is not anything new. He says, Kigain kahani aibdi kekodin. The idolatrous priests followed this way. He's referring, for example, to the monks that live in the, or the nuns. They don't marry. They don't wear nice clothing at all. They don't live in nice homes. So the Rambam is not speaking of something which is hasn't entered anyone's mind. This exists, and at times it existed even greater. And the fact is, in our generation, we see a little swing to it. You had the hippie movement, where they started to say, all right, we won't live in homes. You know, they rebelled against the materialistic world. The materialistic world, this is what we're talking about. In Prushim, you should separate yourself from it. So they didn't live in homes, they lived in caravans, and so forth. So what about Tzetcha Cheshbon? So the Rambam says, no, Gamze Derech Rohi. This is very evil. The Osa Leilech Bo. And a person, a Jew is not allowed to go in this way. And if a Jew does go in this way, he's called a chayta, he's a sinner. Because Anoza, the Nazarite, was the one who abstained from wine. And he has to bring a sacrifice for atonement. And the Chachomim said, what kind of atonement? He has to atone himself because he abstained from wine. So Mayim Nozir Shalei Pirushalamin Ayayin Tzorech Kaporo. A Nozir who only abstained from wine and he has to atone. Someone who abstains from everything in this world, so how much more so will he have to atone? And the Chachomim said, Chachomru Chachomim, Leidaycho Mashos Retele, Ashatayis Alecho Dvorim Achelim. It's not enough what the Torah forbade to you. You have to go and create other prohibitions. Therefore, Tzivu Chachomim. Therefore, our sages commanded, Shleimona Odem Atzmai, Elo Midvorim Shemonose Hateru Bilvad. A person should not refuse himself, or he should not refuse his family, except that what the Torah has refused him. But that what the Torah permitted, that he has to partake from. Therefore the Chachomim said that it is not good that a person should make Nedorim and Shavuos. He takes a vow. That I take a vow, I'm not going to eat vegetables. I'm not going to eat meat. Now, the Chachomim said, Lo yodem misagif atzma betainus. He should not afflict himself with fasts. Bal kol hadvorim ha'ele ki yetzaben sivar shlema. And on all of this, King Solomon commanded and said, Al titzadik harbe. Do not be too righteous. There's a righteous person, and there's a too righteous person. Do not be too righteous. Al tischachem yeser. And don't be too wise. There's a wise person. And there's what is known also as suklug, too wise. Don't be more righteous than the Torah. And don't be wiser than the Torah. Loma tishemeim. Because then you will be rejected from society. You will be isolated from all of society. And a Jew is not allowed to walk in this way. Now, what is the difference between what the Rambam is telling us and the Rabban told us? There's really a simple explanation. The Rambam, who teaches us that a person must abstain, he's not telling you to abstain from something that the person needs. The Rambam is talking about abstaining from something that the person does not need. From overindulging. The Kedeshim to you that you shall be sanctified is not telling you that you should eat, you should fast, you shouldn't eat. It's telling you shouldn't overeat. It's not telling us that you shouldn't drink wine. It's telling us that you shouldn't become a shikar. It's not telling you that you shouldn't marry, saying that a person shouldn't create a harem. The Rambam is speaking on the other extreme. That let's say a person will say that since indulgent in this world can cause such havoc, Esrachek Letzara Achrein, I will go to the opposite extreme. This also is an Avera. Because this world was given to man. The Gemara tells us, we've quoted it many times, the Gemara tells us that if a person sees a new fruit and he doesn't taste from it, there'll be a time when he'll have to give a din and hejman, he'll have to answer for it. Why? Because if a king would give someone a great gift and he would throw it back at him, there could not be a greater insult. And the same thing with the entire world. So what is this boiling down to? That the world was given to man, but it must be used. It must be used not only at the physical level, but it must be used at the spiritual level. There must be spiritual energies interjected in this. If he overindulges and it's purely physical, then what's the difference between him and the animal? That's what the animal does. On the other hand, if he abstains, then he's rejecting the world, and it was given to him. So therefore, everything must be taken and used properly, with the proper quantity and the proper quality. And his spirit must be interjected in everything. Then it becomes Kodesh. Then he becomes like a Kodesh Baruch Hu that is sanctified, that is uplifted, that is elevated from the physical world. If he does not do this, then he doesn't elevate himself or elevate the world. But then it falls into the purely physical level. Let's go into one final point. The Raman brings that this same concept we find also in monetary laws. Where the Torah tells us you shouldn't steal and you shouldn't cheat someone and your weights and measures must be honest and so forth. And then the Torah tells us, V'osisa ha-yosher v'atev b'enei Hashem, that you should do what is good and upright in the eyes of Hashem. He says it's possible that a person can keep all of the laws of the Torah, but it's still not what's upright in the eyes of Hashem. But sometimes a person has to even do more. And he says this is where the Gemara brings the deen of, for example, if nimishur sadin. Sometimes we must go beyond the letter of the law. For example, there are many times when we can go with the letter of the law, but the Torah frowns on it. An example, the bar metzra. If a person has a field to sell, so he has a right to sell it to whoever he wants. He's the balabos. And let's say there are several people who want to buy from him. And one is a neighbor. And if the neighbor buys the field, then it will be a much greater benefit to that person because now he'll have two fields adjacent. So if we would just go with the letter of the law, then we couldn't tell him who to sell his field to. He has the right to sell it to whoever he wants. But the Gemara says, no, you must sell to the neighbor. Because there are times when you must go beyond the letter of the law. To him, it is much greater benefit than to someone else. The Gemara brings another case. At the end of Aseichres Apeilim, that one of the rabbis of the Gemara, he hired some workers to move, transport some barrels of wine. They dropped the barrel and they broke it. So he put a claim against them. He says, you have to pay me. They didn't want to pay. So meanwhile, he confiscated. He confiscated their garments or their tools for security that they would pay. So they went to the Beis Din. So the Beis Din called in this rabbi. And he said, give him back what you've confiscated. Not allowed to take it. So he said, Dino Hochi, is this the halacha? They broke my barrel of wine. I have a right to claim it. So they said, yes, for you, this is the din. Because you're a Talmud Chochem. And they are poor. And they were doing this during working. They didn't do it with outright negligence. Therefore, for you, this is the deed. All right. So he returned it to them. Later on, they came and they said that we're hungry. Pay us our wages. He said, pay your wages. Not only did you cause me damages, I should pay your wages also. So he chased them out. So they went back to the Beis Din. So the Beis Din called him in and said, pay him. He said, Din o Hochi, is this the deed? So they said, no, this is not the din, but for you it is. Because you're a Talmud Chochem. You have to go beyond the letter of the law. It's not sufficient merely to fulfill the law in accordance to the letter, but you must do what is upright in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they are poor and they are hungry. Therefore pay them. And the Vilna Gaon brings that if you have a worker that's working for you, and without outright negligence, he happens to break something. So to waive your claim, he says, that's not the quality of a Talmud Chochem. That's the quality of every person. But to pay them also, that's the quality of a Talmud Chochem. So we see that in Momenus also, when it comes to business, the area of business laws, of laws between man and his fellow man, there's also a Kedoshim to you. That not only that we must fulfill each concept in its structure, but still remain the same person that we were before, but it must elevate us to the point where we are doing what is upright in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, one little explanation has to be added here. If this is the case, so how do we know then when to go beyond the letter of the law and when not? There are many times when the Torah tells us we're not allowed to go beyond the letter of the law. For example, by the first man, when he told Chava that the Almighty said that you should not touch the tree or you should not eat from its fruit. And when the serpent came along and he pushed her against the tree and he told her, nothing has happened to you. So just like nothing has happened to you when you touch the tree, nothing will happen to you when you eat from its fruit. And the Almighty never commanded that you shouldn't touch the tree. He only commanded that you shouldn't eat from it. Except Adam wanted to add an additional safeguard. But the Chazal see that from here, it's very dangerous to do more than the Torah actually tells us. Came out a ruination to the world. There's a Gemara that tells us, Tosfos brings it in Gittin, Davov, Kol ha'peter midove ve'iseo nikre hetyot. Someone who is potter, if someone is not obligated in a mitzvah and he does it, he's a fool. The Tosfos brings from the Yishalmi. We just celebrated Pesach in the Maaser Av, which is a sefer which writes the customs of the Vilna Gaon. It writes how careful he was to fulfill each thing just to the letter, but not more. And therefore, on Pesach he didn't eat chometz. But immediately after Pesach, he would send out that they should buy some beer from a goy, and he'd make avdol on it. So you'd eat chometz immediately after Pesach. Because the Torah said that you shouldn't eat chometz for 7 days or for 8 days, but not more. And he wanted to illustrate to himself that what the reason why he was abstaining from chometz because of mitzvahs Hashem, not for other reasons. And once the mitzvah is finished, then it's finished. If he would still abstain from chometz, then it's his mitzvah, it's not Hashem's mitzvah. And also matzah. After Pesach, for a few days, he would not eat matzah, a kosher matzah. He wouldn't eat. Because again, he wanted to illustrate that during Pesach, he was eating matzah because it was mitzvah. But now there's no mitzvah. So when do we say that sometimes we must go beyond the letter of the law, and other times we're not allowed to? So the answer to that is also simple. When we're given a mitzvah, how do we know if it's better to do more or not? For example, the Torah tells us that you should put four parshas in the tefillin. You should write four paragraphs, four chapters of the Torah in the tefillin. If you will take five chapters, the tefillin won't be kosher. You should put tzitzis on four corners of your garment. If you would put tzitzis in five places, it wouldn't be kosher. So there is a fool. A fool will come along and say that the Torah said that I should put a mezuzah on my door, and it's such a mitzvah, I'll put two mezuzahs on each door. I'll put a mezuzah on one side and one on the other. The Torah said I should put in four parshas, and it's such a mitzvah, I'll put in 10 parshas, it'll be a more mitzvah. I mean, this would be like a doctor that's prescribing you an exact prescription, and you're saying, if it's so effective, so I'll double it. So therefore, it's kolapeitim idover vayson nikra hedyot. Someone who is free from the obligation and he does it, then he's a fool. You must be very careful to fulfill the mitzvah in exact form. So when then do we say sometimes he should go beyond the letter of the law? That's when we know that it's mitzvah to go beyond the letter of the law. For example, what would be in this case where according to the letter of the law he doesn't have to pay these workers? What would be if he did pay them? He doesn't have to pay them. But if he did pay them, it would be the mitzvah of tzedakah, the mitzvah of charity, or it would be the mitzvah of chesed. And we have all kinds of sources in the Torah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do tzedakah and do chesed. You don't have to pay him, and it's your money. But now you can do what you want with your money. Even if you don't have to, you can give it to him. Or like the Rambam brings, for example, the Rambam brings in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Aveidah, that if you find a lost article which belongs to an idolater, he says you're not allowed to return it. Why? Because you're supporting wickedness in the world. If it's a non-Jew, that's a righteous non-Jew, no, then you can return it. But if it belongs to an idolater, he says then you're not allowed to return it. Because you're supporting a wickedness in the world. Avedis Evirakum, Muteris. And if you return it, Machzik Yedei Shailam. But then he says, what happens if you return it to sanctify Hashem's name? Because then others will say, oh, the Jews, you see what kind of people they are. Nobody knew, he found something of mine and nobody knew it, and he came and returned it to me. Then Hareze Meshubach, this is praiseworthy. Or the Rambam says, what happens if he returns it? Because he's afraid that maybe someone saw him find it. And then it'll come out to desecrate Hashem's name. They'll start talking, the Jews, they're supposed to be such honest people. I know he found it and he didn't return it. Then he says it's a mitzvah. Or he says, what happens if he returns it just b'pnei darkei sholom? Because he wants to cement good relationships. So the Jews will be able to live peacefully with their neighbors. Then it's a mitzvah. So here we have that. The letter of the law is you don't return it. But if it's calculations where we know it's a mitzvah, for example, a mitzvah to make peace, or a mitzvah to sanctify Hashem's name, or a mitzvah that Hashem's name shouldn't be desecrated, then it's a mitzvah to return it. So that's the principle. To fulfill the mitzvahs. But if the person after the fulfillment of the mitzvah is the same as he was before the fulfillment of the mitzvah, this is not a fruma Jew. If you have a Jew that keeps mitzvahs, but he is not perfecting himself, he's the same coarse individual that he was before. He can be a glutton, or he can be a shikar, or he's a coarse person, or the way he talks, or the way he walks, or the way he dresses, and so forth, even though he's not doing anything wrong. This is not a Jew Alpi Torah. Why? Because we have another command that he has forgotten about. And that is the command of Kedoshim Tiyu, that all of the mitzvahs must bring you to sanctity. This is the purpose of the mitzvahs. And this is not only in mitzvahs between person and Hashem, but this is also in mitzvahs between a person and a fellow man. If he keeps the letter of the law in business perfectly, he keeps every account and every cheshbon purpose perfect. But in a place where he should give a little extra, he doesn't. This also then lacks in the vosisas ayosher v'atei beidei Hashem. If you have a worker and you pay him exactly what was said, exactly the contract, nothing less, you gave him completely what he deserves, but he's a poor man and he needs a little more, and the person will say, I have fulfilled my responsibility. This is not vosisas ayosher v'atei beidei Hashem. You have not fulfilled your responsibility. Because the obligation of the mitzvahs is not merely mitzvahs, but to do what's upright in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is not upright in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where we know that in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He wants us to go a little beyond this law, then we say, Lifnim Meshuras Hadin. You must go further. Where we don't know, then we're not allowed to, because it can be ruination. This is the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you, and this is a very important pillar in Torah life. Leiniten hatera ele letzareches abriyais. Torah was given to perfect man. If it brings him to perfection, then he is fulfilling Torah. If not, then he has to know he is not in the right direction. We should all be zecher to grow in the perfection of Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedolah hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.